Welcome back to Hot Business on Hot 102.7. It is once again time for the passive investor slot where we are unpacking some of the mysteries around passive investments. A lot of people are out there, giving a lot of investment advice. There's lots of different ways of approaching the market. Our goal here is to let you, the listener, have an informed conversation with your financial advisor. There is a wide world of investment vehicles out there. And tonight, to help us to understand some of the things that are out there, we are speaking to Craig Kradage from Kradage Mahura Investments. He is an investment and retirement planning specialist. Craig, good evening. Thank you very much for joining us.
Good evening, Pietri, and good evening to the listeners. Good to chat to you again and on a new platform.
Yeah, likewise, man. It is nice to chat to you. So, last week we had a look at ETFs, and there's a number of various options available, and I think there's still quite a bit more to unpack there. But this week, I think what we want to look at is basically different investment vehicles. Now, there are tons of them out there. There are retirement annuities. There are endowments. There are tax-free savings accounts. There are 1,000 of these different investment vehicles that people can choose from.
Yeah.
I mean, what are they even? Can we maybe just have a look at, you know, the different types of vehicles, what they do, and I'll just ask you all the questions that I know as we go along.
Yeah, look, I think it's an important discussion because, you know, very often investors tend to pay a lot of attention at, you know, what funds must I invest in, where must I invest my money offshore, locally, do I invest in ETFs or unit trusts, things like that. From a financial planning perspective, one of the first places I start is, you know, if a client comes to me and they say he has 5 million rand to invest, one of the first bit of analysis I would do is around which products would be suitable for this particular client. Because remember, you can invest in the same funds but via different products.
Yeah, using almost different vehicles. So a good way to explain this maybe is to say
You
get different types of buses. And what you put in the bus is all the different investments that you make, whether it's shares or funds or whatever. But the type of bus that you ride is, you know, has different benefits.
Yeah, and I think it's also important that people realize that they sometimes fall under different legislation as well, and they have different tax treatments. So those are important considerations. So if we take it at a very high level, if you want to invest as a retail investor, as the man in the street, first look at whether you're investing what we call compulsory money, so that's retirement money, or are you investing discretionary money? So you've saved up, you've won the lotto, you've received an inheritance, you've got full discretion over where that money goes. However, with retirement savings, you are limited. So at a high level, your products are grouped. Either they compulsory products or they discretionary products. Compulsory products, I think most people have experience with. Those are your retirement products, basically.
These are usually the products that I work for a company, and the company pays a portion of my salary. I have to elect it, you know, with HR, say 2% or whatever it is of my salary goes into my retirement annuity or my pension fund or whatever. That's your compulsory investment fund.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So on the retirement side, you've got pre-retirement and post-retirement. So before retirement, which are the retirement products that one can look at? So there's your retirement annuity, which is probably the most well-known.
Okay.
There are preservation funds. So somebody leaves their job, the employer says, thank you very much, please take your pension fund with you and go. So the right thing to do would be to preserve your pension benefit so you don't pay any tax. So that would go into a preservation fund.
Okay.
And depending on what type of fund you're coming out of, if it's pension or provident, you'll go into a preservation pension or preservation provident fund.
Okay, so I'm going to present you with a scenario, right? Let's say, for example, I'm working for company XYZ. I have a retirement annuity that they, you know, it's compulsory. I don't have a choice. They put it up for me. 2% of my salary goes in there every month. I work for them for 10 years. Some bad times come. I get retrenched. And they say to me, cool, you know, take your money and go. Now, I can either pull out my retirement annuity, I guess, a portion of it, or I can put it into a preservation fund.
Yep.
Which is obviously the better advice here, right? to preserve the tax benefit. If yes. I then get a job in a year from now, can I take that preservation fund and turn it back into a retirement annuity fund and contribute to it again?
Okay, so just for clarity, so if you're working for a company, you're likely to end up in a pension or a provident fund.
Okay.
Usually small companies would put you into a retirement annuity, what they call a group retirement annuity product.
Yeah.
But for most people, it's a pension or a provident fund. And then that scenario, they can take the money and preserve it in a preservation fund.
Okay.
A year later, they start working at, XYZ, and they wouldn't be able to transfer the TRES fund to XYZ. It's unlikely. Remember, the preservation fund would take on the rules of the fund that they came out of, and those are quite possibly different to the rules of the fund they're going into.
Okay, so you freeze also, all new contributions. You just keep the same rules of the game. Well, the same rules of the structure that you were in. You just now cannot take it out until you've retired, or you cannot contribute more to it.
100%. So you can't contribute more to your preservation fund. But it doesn't really make any difference, because at retirement, you instead of having one investment of, say, 5 million or 10 million, you might have three total 10
that
million.
Total the same. And it's then sort of treated all together as one group or one umbrella investment that you...
You could treat it that way, or you could choose to retire from just one and leave the others.
Okay.
So it actually gives you a bit more flexibility.
Okay.
So what I often do with some of my clients, so they have multiple retirement products. By the time they get to retirement, is we retire out of maybe one or two now, and then we retire out of one or two a few months later, 6 months later normally. And that way, that when they in retirement, they have two chances to increase their income. So kind of every 6 months they get a salary increase, so to speak. So that's the benefit of being able of having multiple different products. Just to come back, so you've got your preservation funds where you preserve your benefits, your money grows tax-free in those products, and with retirement annuities and preservation funds, they have to comply with Regulation 28 in terms of where they are listed.
That's a whole nother kettle of fish. We'll get into Regulation 28, I think, in a week or two from now.
I think it's a separate discussion on its own.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you've got, now you've built up your retirement savings, you get to retirement. You now got to go from a product which allows you to build up capital into a product which allows you to draw down income. And those are your post-retirement products. And there, investors have a choice between a living annuity, a guaranteed annuity, and what's sometimes referred to as either a hybrid annuity or a composite annuity.
Okay.
Right. So living annuity, with the word living, where it comes from is that when the annuitant, when the retiree passes on, their capital lives on. Okay, so the capital is available for beneficiaries. With a guaranteed annuity product, when the annuitant passes on, the capital dies with the annuitant, and there's no benefit left for the dependents or heirs.
So you have to then draw down that annuity before, I suppose.
Well, with a guaranteed annuity, they will pay you an income for as long as you're alive.
And what happens if there's money left?
Well, it's a guaranteed annuity.
It's defined benefit, right? Yeah.
Well, yeah, so defined benefit is actually in the pre-retirement space, but they're defining your income. That's the benefit that's defined. However, a guaranteed annuity, it's your annuity income is guaranteed for your entire life. Okay. So with a living annuity, the biggest risk a retiree faces that markets are not good and they draw out too much income, and they find that after several years, so they invest $5 million, they take $20,000 a month, and after about 5 years, they're now taking $40,000 a month, and that's a very high drawdown rate. And markets haven't, you know, so like if you look at the last 5 years, excuse me, returns have been quite low in the market.
Yeah.
So their cap, they didn't get any capital growth, and now they're starting to eat into capital.
Right.
So that's your risk with a living annuity, is that you could get to the age of 80 and have almost no money left and no income. So that's your risk with a living annuity. With a guaranteed annuity, actually you get to age 80, 90, 100, and they have to pay you. The reason that...
But your payment in that case is not inflation adjusted then, I would assume.
So you get different types of guaranteed annuities.
Okay.
You get level annuities. So you get paid the same annuity for the rest of your life, the same amount. Or you get increasing annuities. So those are inflation-linked annuities, so they increase by inflation. Or you get what's called a market-linked annuity, where, in fact, your income increase is determined by the performance of the market.
Okay.
So it's different types of annuities. And with those annuities, what's also good about them is that you can put a spouse benefit on there.
Okay.
So where you say, in the event that I pass on, my spouse
can continue to get these benefits.
Yeah. 50%, 75%, 100% of what I was getting.
Okay.
And yeah, so those are the different variables.
All right.
And then,
yeah.
So with the one, with retirement, there's a natural tension between leaving money for the next generation or for your financial dependents and having income security. That's the tension, and that's the trade-off that investors,
okay,
or retirees have to grapple with.
Yeah.
So
it's okay.
Living annuity solves the one, leaving money for your the next generation or for your financial dependents. Guaranteed annuity solves the problem of income security, to make sure that you have income for your entire retirement.
Right, okay. So there is space for both of these products in your sort of investment, your retirement planning space.
Yeah. And that's where the third product comes in, which is your hybrid annuity.
Which combines these two, I would imagine.
It's a combination of the two. And so in the event that you pass on, the living annuity portion of your capital goes to your financial dependents. However, if you live to 105, well, then there's a portion of your annuity that's guaranteed you income for life.
Okay.
So that helps you straddle if in fact you're finding it very difficult to make the trade-off.
Okay.
So we can spend a lot more time on the retirement side.
Yeah, and we are sadly out of time for this slot as well for this week.
But I
am very aware of the fact that we have just scratched the surface. There is a lot more to go. I mean, we spoke about very, very, very little compared to how much we sort of planned to just in the beginning of this discussion. So for now, that's it. That's what we can do. But obviously, we would love to have you back to continue this discussion. I think there's a lot to learn. And I think there's a lot of people listening to us right now thinking, wow, I didn't know that these were all my options, right? So thank you very much for your time, Craig.
Great.
Yeah. No,
fantastic. Thanks, Pietri. Thanks for the invitation. And, yeah, looking forward to future conversations.
Absolutely. We've got a lot to learn. We've got a lot to teach. And we've got a lot to learn from you. So thank you very much for your time. That was Craig Kradic, the retirement planning and investment specialist at Kradic Mehura Investments. You are on Hot Business.